Håll för öronen nu, för nu kommer mitt vårskrik.
Och hjärtligt välkomna tillbaka till Skrikpodden med mig Emil Flisbäck
och med mig Joakim Nidén.
Joakim Nidén.
Ja.
Äntligen.
Äntligen är vi tillbaka. Ja. Det är åt tid. Jag vet inte hur lång tid. 2 veckor.
Så typ som vanligt, va?
Ja, det är ganska vanligt att det är 2 veckor mellan avsnitten, så att, ja, inte jättekonstigt kanske.
Nej. Vad har hänt sen? what have you been up to?
Ja, nej, men jag har... jag vet inte riktigt om jag ska vara helt ärlig. Fan, jag är ju knegar. Och man har ju typ blivit sjuk igen. Så att det är sånt där att ha småbarn.
Ja, just
det. Det är inte svinkul. Min pappa var här. Var nere. Var det kul?
Mm. Roligt.
Ja, för att man inte kan åka till Stockholm så ofta som jag vill.
Nej.
Jävlar vad det har blivit dyrt att åka nu sista tiden.
Ja, nej, jag vet ingenting om det. Jag köpte biljetter till Falkenberg nyligen också. Eller till Göteborg, och det var billigt.
Ja,
tur och retur 350 spänn tror jag. Va, jag betalade.
Skämtar du? Enkel biljett till Stockholm för mig kostar 1 och 3.
Oj. Ja, men du har mycket mer pengar än vad jag har, så
jag
det är
har
okej.
Inte så mycket pengar längre.
Vi får försöka bli sponsrade av MTR. Fast just det, de går inte till Malmö. Det
är det. Nej, och jag vill inte... Vad fan, ska vi ha MTR? Fan, det går inte... Det vill man inte ha på sig.
Nej, det vill man ju inte. Fast man vill inte ha SJ heller. För det är
snälltåget då?
Snälltåget, det låter mig. Och det är coolt att åka de gamla tåg och sånt. Ja. Jag åkte till Berlin med snälltåget.
Ja, och går de hela vägen till Berlin? Måste man byta?
Nej, eller ja, du byter i Malmö i och för sig. Men...
Ja, okej. Okay. Men... Sjukt.
Ändå kul.
Ja.
Nej.
Vad har du haft?
Sen åker du ner via Trelleborg där.
Ja, fy fan. Men vad har du haft för dig?
Ja, kul att du frågar.
Ja.
jag fick reda på idag att vi ska flytta. Eller vi får flytta.
Grattis.
Så att det gick igenom.
Vart ska ni? Eller har ni fått flytta så ni inte hittat ett boende?
Jo.
Ja, ni har det.
Alltså, vi ska flytta, men vi fick ett datum. Alltså, så här, allting, vi gjorde ju ett byte. Och det gick igenom idag.
Gött. Vart ska ni flytta då?
Några 100 meter härifrån, visserligen bara. Men ändå, till en större lägenhet.
Eller? Gött.
Så det ska bli kul.
Grattis.
Annars har 8 mars var nyligen.
Mm.
Jag var och demonstrerade.
Viktigt.
8 mars.
Det var... Internationella kvinnodagen.
Ja, yes. Fantastiskt trevligt var det.
Mm.
Men annars har jag nog inte gjort så mycket. Jag var på Kappa Bar häromdagen, i lördags.
Hur var det?
För första gången faktiskt.
Ja, jag aldrig
varit sjukt
där.
Ändå. Det är alltså, för er som inte vet, så är det en gamingbar.
Ja. Vad var det för något som visades på tv-apparaterna?
Ja, alltså det var samma kväll som Mello. Så att det var inte Mello.
Nej. Skönt.
Det var så här streaming. Jag vet inte, det var väl. Det såg ut som det var CS, jag kollade inte så noga. Jag bryr mig inte om CS så.
Nej.
Så, ja. Men Jocke.
Ja.
We have no time to mess around.
We have no time. Vi har ju faktiskt ett riktigt avsnitt här.
Exakt. Det här är bara en liten curveball. Så här, för att ni skulle tro att det var ett vanligt avsnitt först. Men det är det inte.
Nej.
Utan idag, vad ska vi göra idag, Jocke?
Vi ska ju prata med Nicky, sångare i Blood Command.
Ja. Och det kommer bli kul. Jag lovar er.
Det är en jättebra intervju.
Ja, det är en jättebra intervju. Och alltså så här, vi har inte så jävla mycket mer att säga, tycker jag. Utan vi låter väl er helt enkelt få höra på intervjun. Ni vill mer höra vad Nicky vad hon har gjort sen sist, helt enkelt. Ja. Mer än vad vi har gjort sen sist.
Hon är mycket intressantare än vad vi är.
Ja, hon är mycket intressantare och hon är mycket bättre på att prata än vad vi ja. Är också. Så att, här kommer vår intervju med Nicky från Blood Coven. All right, welcome to Skrikpodden, Nicky.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
Finally, it's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was September or October last year.
Oh, that's a while ago.
Yeah, and we met in Stockholm, face to face.
Yes, my hometown.
Ah, oh, so beautiful there. Lucky you. And yeah, it was at our headline show with the lovely Dream Drop Boys.
Yeah,
who were just so cute and fun.
That was actually one of my questions. So we can start with that. How was touring with Dream Drop?
It was really fun. They're such sweethearts. We got really loose on the ferry from Finland to Stockholm. I think it's from Stockholm to Helsinki.
Yeah, from Finland. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not super good with Scandinavian geography yet, but I'm getting better. But yeah. We just got really drunk and ended up doing karaoke one night, which was definitely not the smartest idea before singing, you know, the next night or whatever when we had to sing. But we did karaoke and we just, like, all I remember from that moment is, like, all of us doing, like, a pile on, like, stacks on one of the guys from Dream Drop. And he was like, get off me. You're crushing me. We're all so drunk. We're like, all having so much fun. And then I realized the next day, I was like, there were 10 people on top of him. That was really But we had fun. We had a great time. Yeah. They're such sweethearts.
Yeah, they can take it.
Yeah, exactly. They can handle it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But let's start from the beginning. Like, we know who you are, but if you want to explain, who are you, Nicky?
Oh, who am I? Wow.
We haven't introduced you yet.
Yeah, so
my name is Nicky. I sing for a Norwegian band from Bergen called Blood Command. And if you can tell by my accent, I'm definitely not Norwegian. I do live in Bergen now. I am a Norwegian resident. But I'm from Australia, from Melbourne originally. And before I joined Blood Command, I was in a hardcore band from Melbourne called Pagan. And we split up in 2020. And a few weeks after we announced our breakup online, Ingvar from Blood Command asked me to join Blood Command and be the new singer. So I jumped at the opportunity, having always been a fan of Norway and a fan of Blood Command. So here we are.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jukka also lived in Australia.
Oh, did you? I did.
For a few months, yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you?
No, I was in Sydney, I'm sorry.
Oh, right. Oh, no, we can't have that. Do you have a rival in Sweden between Stockholm and Gothenburg or anything?
Yes.
You do? Yes. I knew it.
But it's not as bad as Sydney and Melbourne. Because no. I talk...
Or Bergen and Oslo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I imagine Gothenburg's like the Melbourne and Stockholm's the Sydney. That's my guess.
Yeah.
As somebody who's visited a couple of times.
I would describe it like that.
It's kind of the same with Bergen being the Melbourne and also being the Sydney.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Exactly.
Like, so stupid.
Yeah. But the capital is Canberra, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like...
It's weird.
No one really wants to go. It is a nice place. I've only ever been once, though. Australia is so big that it's hard to go everywhere, really, unless you're touring.
You mentioned that you played in they were named Pagan.
Yeah, that was my old band. Yeah. So I did. I sung for, we were like a hardcore band. We called ourselves Blackened Rock and Roll. And it's what... sort of really got me into like screaming vocals. Before that, I played in a punk band, and I do a bit of screaming, but a bit more singing and screaming. A lot of people compared us to sort of bands from the Riot Girl movement. We weren't intentionally doing Riot Girl music. We just wanted to do sort of feminist punk rock. And my twin sister is also conveniently, who played guitar for the band, is a very big fan of Bikini Kill. So maybe there was some inspiration there. But at the time of doing that band, which was called Little Lamb and the Rosemaries, I wasn't so into Riot Girl. I just knew of Bikini Kill from being like 16 and listening to Olivia play them. But yeah. People would always compare us to kind of that movement. And then, my bassist at the time, he started this new band called Pagan, and they needed a vocalist. And he loved my songwriting, so he asked me to join. Then we got to tour the world and do all that stuff, all that fun stuff. And then, we broke up. And then I got the offer for the Norwegian band. So here I am. I'm a real Scandinavian, just like you guys.
Yeah, you definitely sound like it.
Yeah. Hi.
I mean, you can fool anyone by the looks, because you don't really know how Scandinavians look anymore, you know?
Yeah, well, I always thought that they looked like Vikings, but I don't think that they do.
Which is not true.
No.
I mean, look at us too.
Yeah. No offense or anything, but yeah, I agree.
That's why I don't show my lower body, so you don't.
So I don't get shocked by the similarity in the Vikings. But I am a Euro, that's for sure. But I'm a Slav.
Yeah,
I am half Slovenian, so
yeah,
that's probably why I can kind of fit in here a bit.
That was also one of my questions. Why do you have a Slovenian passport?
my father, who's passed away now, he was from Slovenia, and he moved to Australia, I think, when he was like in his early 20s. And he, blessed me with Slovenian citizenship. My mum was Australian, even though Australian is just convict country, so who even knows what Australians are. Part Irish, part convict, part whatever. But she was Australian, so now I've got two passports. So it made the move to Norway a lot easier as well.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot. Yes.
It's very convenient.
Very convenient, very lucky as well. Yeah.
So well, that's probably the best thing to have, right? The European passport and like an Australian.
I mean,
American.
I think so. Yeah. I've had a few people ask me, like, would you give up your Slovenian passport for Norwegian? Because I have a boyfriend here.
Yeah.
So they're always like, ooh, if you got married to him, like, would you become Norwegian? And I always say, no. I think I want to live on my father's name. And he was such a proud Slovenian, so I don't think I could do that. Maybe I can get three passports and be really greedy.
You just collect
them all.
Trade passports with people. No. I don't think you can get three, sadly. I am being greedy now.
That's enough.
Well, I only have one, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also only have one. Let's go back to Blood Command. How would you describe Blood Command for someone from the outside?
Well, we are self-described as death pop, which is the theme, like the sound of the music. And I'd just say we're a band who just goes against what people expect a hardcore band to be. So anything that you expect from hardcore, we kind of go against that and do the opposite. And it's an interesting question that you ask, because our new single that, came out on the 17th of March, Losing Faith, is everything that people probably did not expect from Blood Command, even though it's still the most Blood Command sounding song. I think our fans will have expected it, but like people who have an idea of what Blood Command is, if they've heard like a screaming singer and guitars and heavy music, I think a lot of them would be shocked by us releasing basically a country ballad.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so hardcore.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's something to say about that, though. I think the most punk thing you can do is to not try and conform, in my opinion. So I actually think it is a really hardcore mindset. I know that there might be people who would debate that and might disagree, and I don't care. Like, it's up for debate. But I think that is the most punk mindset you can have.
Yeah, I don't like gatekeepers at all, you know?
Yeah.
I get so tired of that. Like, that's not hardcore.
Yeah, or like, I mean, the song is definitely not hardcore, but we're also not a hardcore band, you know?
No, you're a death pop band.
Right? Yeah, well, exactly. So we get to write our own history here.
Yeah, exactly. But why was the why death pop? Why the name death pop?
And are there any other ones?
It was actually already the term was already coined before I joined the band. So I might not be the best person to ask this question to, because for those listening at home and who may not have heard of Blood Command, Blood Command did have two singers before I joined the band. Mm. Celia and Karina. And so there's quite a history with Blood Command before Nikki came along. And, you know, I think I was really the missing piece of the puzzle. But then some questions can be a little bit difficult for me to answer when it comes to like Blood Command history.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the best at Blood Command history. Some of the records I've got to still finish listening to. I just had too many songs to learn when I joined the band, and I just had to listen to only those songs. So, but I think death pop, for me, if I can answer this question, it's because it's the idea of Blood Command is definitely, you know, a hardcore band at its essence, but then it's everything going against that also. So hence like the contradictory words put together too. I think it just suits the music too. Like, it makes perfect sense to me. It's like heavy pop, you know, black, kind of like Pagan was too, which is a weird thing, because I've always found similarities with Pagan and Blood Command. We were black and rock and roll. And again, it was like kind of like this like more poppy sounding music with something heavier and blackened and darkened. Similar with Blood Command, which is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are drawn to those type of...
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have a type. Maybe not in men, but definitely in with music. And when I first heard Blood Command, and the first song I ever heard was actually through my old bassist, Dan, who I brought up before, who was a member of Little Lamb and the Rosemarys. And he played me one of their songs. It was actually Cult Drugs, which is like the title track off their record Cult Drugs, off our record Cult Drugs, I should say. And I was really drawn to the lyrics, and I found it really fascinating because they'd always use this sort of cult imagery, which I used in my lyric writing for Pagan as well. So again, it was this similarity that I was immediately drawn to. Yeah.
Cool.
Really creepy. Lots of creepy parallel things that happened with me joining Blood Command, and there were a few of them.
But you guys have a pretty gnarly stage show.
I like that review.
but it's still so yet so amazing. How did that come about?
It came from a lot of trust with the guys with me. When I joined the band, you know, they told me certain things with the past vocalists, like the past vocalists didn't speak in between the songs. And I said, that's not going to fly with me. I have to talk on stage. Like, I love engaging with an audience. It's part of my skills. I'm good at it. I want to do it. I think it will help us be bigger and better.
Mm.
And they all put so much trust into me, which is so lovely. They'd seen what I was capable of with Pagan, but then they've just helped breed this beast that's me. There's nothing that they say no to me doing, like nothing. Like they'll just say, okay, yeah, Nikki, yeah, yep, yep.
I want a goat head.
It's so nice. Yeah. It's so lovely though, because like to have that trust, you know, it helps everyone feel safe on stage.
Mm.
And then on top of that as well, Emil, to answer your question, it really does come with years and years of stage shows, like just
yeah.
That honing your craft, like without sounding like a total wanker, but it is the truth. Like I've had to play on stages, tour for years and years and years to know who I am on stage.
Yeah.
Because when you first join a band, you can have a million ideas of what you want it to be, what you want to look like on stage, what you want to do. But for me, until I'm completely in the moment, till I feel completely safe and comfortable, I will never be the true beast that I was born to be. And now here we are, and it is Nikki at her peak, I would say. I mean, you can always grow and learn, but this is how I've always wanted to be on stage, and I was never quite there, even with Pagan, when at the time I thought this is me at my peak, but I was always holding back slightly, whereas with this band there's no holding back. It is so raw and so And you know, we rehearse the hell out of the songs too. So, you know, what a good end result comes with a lot of hard work is basically the secret.
Yeah.
It's hours and hours and hours and hours of rehearsal. But, you know, we have fun doing it. So that's also great.
Perfect. Well, you also have an intimate connection with the audience. But a couple of weeks ago, it got too intimate.
Yes.
What happened?
That's the way of signing it up.
Yeah.
I was on stage in a small town in Norway called Helgesund, which is sort of in between Bergen and Stavanger, for people who have not heard of Helgesund. And we played at this cool venue. We were playing with a great Norwegian band called Uncle P and Slekta, and they're like a really big band. Their singer is like a very, very famous rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we're doing our regular stage show. There's a part in the set when I get on someone's shoulders.
Yeah.
And someone took that as an opportunity to touch me. I'm sure people listening to this can probably guess where they touch me. It was definitely assault, and it was so surreal. Like I didn't think it was happening at the time. I had to get through, you know, a screaming song. It was a really difficult song to sing. Yeah. It's a villain's monologue, which is really like takes a lot of breath capacity. I've really got to focus. I was trying to entertain the audience. I was trying to balance on someone's shoulders too.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought people were just like pushing me up to help me get up. So there were some people grabbing my like back of my thighs and maybe even a little bit of my bum cheeks. Mm-hmm. But someone like essentially put their fingers up me. And it was luckily I was wearing shorts. But, you know, it flashed through my mind that, oh my God, someone's like touching me inappropriately. But everything happened so fast and the set was over before I even had time to think. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got off stage, I ran to the merch desk after our set, some other guy came up to me and said some inappropriate comments, and then I had this flood of like what had happened, like immediately like go through my mind. And at that time, some of the crew came over to me. And they commented on, like, what a great show it was. And I don't know, they asked me a question. And I just said, like, did someone, like, touch me inappropriately? Like, did they put their fingers up me? And one of the guys who was doing our light, I saw the whole thing happen, but I couldn't do anything. Are you okay? and the whole band, my band didn't see it happen. Obviously, they were performing. But a lot of the members of Uncle P and Selector saw it, but they were up the back and it happened right up the front. So they couldn't do anything. And, you know, me being me, I didn't want to create drama. I didn't want to, like, ruin everyone's night. So I just, like, went home quietly, well, back to the hotel quietly and just went to bed. And, yeah, I spent, like, a day reflecting on it and thought, you know, should I say something? And then, sorry, getting a bit emotional talking about it. But, you know, like, people have so much worse happen and it just made me really sad because I didn't want to be part of the problem by not saying something. Yeah. And if that had happened to a fan, it would have broken my heart because our shows are meant to be safe for everyone.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not happy that it happened to anyone, but I would, if, as, you know, it happened to me, so therefore I feel that I'm responsible for fucking saying something.
Yeah.
And I wanted to speak up. And it was amazing because the amount of fans who wrote to me, I'm so happy that you said something. This has happened to me. This has happened to my sister. This has happened to my brother. This has happened to my friend, my neighbor, whoever. It made me sick to my stomach because these people feel that I can't say anything, or if they say something, no one's going to listen.
Yeah.
So I think if you're not, you know, if I didn't say something, I really think I would be part of the problem, and I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to speak up. I'm still considering if I'm going to raise it with the venue and the police. I don't know yet. I've had a very traumatic few years with both of my parents dying. I was in a lot of like legal court battles over some family stuff, and I don't know if I can go back through that process, but, you know, speaking up is the start, and we'll see. Yeah. People have video footage of it too, that they've sent me. So I haven't watched it yet though.
I was so glad when you obviously I was very sad to read it about it, but I was so glad that you spoke up, and I really wanted to ask you if it was okay to talk about it in this podcast.
And I really appreciate that, and I will say for people listening that you definitely did ask me consensually if it was okay to talk about it, and I said it was, and I really appreciate that.
So thank you.
This has been completely consensual talking about this topic.
We didn't surprise you with that.
Thank you for sharing,
of course,
Nikki.
Of course.
Let's try to get into a little bit happier subjects.
Yes. it's unfortunately about your outfit, because why do you have Adidas, like the Adidas stage clothes? How did that come up?
It's unfortunate. Because we hate Kanye West.
And Juki is Jewish.
I hate Kanye West. I've always hated him. No, but it was weirdly, so before I even joined Blood Command, you know, the guys always rocked and the old singers rocked Adidas. And then when I joined the band, you know, the guys just thought it was so perfect because I am Slovenian.
Yes, I was going to ask.
The Slav thing. So now it's not cultural appropriation at all. I'm repping my neighborhood.
Well, there's this Swedish comedian. He said like, oh, I didn't know. Like he was at an airport. He was going to fly to Serbia. And he said like, oh shit, I don't know which gate. He's like, okay, what's the easiest way to find it? Like, okay, find the Adidas clothes.
That's so cute. I love that. But it really is so perfect. Like, who would have thought when they asked the Australian girl from some, you know, underground hardcore band that she just happened to be Slovenian too. So it would just fit the band's image perfectly. Like, because my old band Pagan, we had this whole image where we did like a really Italian thing because the three guys in the band were all Italian or like at least half Italian. And so we played on like getting a Campari sponsorship and always had red wine on stage. It sounds so stupid now. So when I joined Blood Command, I was just like, oh my God, like, you use Slav references. I am a Slav. Like, it's so perfect.
And then you rock a bottle of vodka on stage.
Like, literally, yeah. I even found this jacket. We were on tour, when we were on the tour where I met you, Emil.
Yeah.
We had like a morning off in Manchester, and all the guys were just asleep for ages, and I just got up, showered, and then I, one of the days of luxury when we got to shower, because we were in a bus, but you know, I got up early so I could have a shower, and then I went down to like this cool shopping strip with all these vintage clothing stores, and it started like torrentially pouring down with rain. Like, I'm talking like bucketing down. I didn't have an umbrella, so I just ran into one of the vintage stores to get out of the rain, and it was also looked like a cool shop, and I was just flicking through these like cool old bomber jackets, and I found one that was like red satin with Smirnoff, like a Smirnoff patch on the heart, like on the breast, and I was like, I fucking need this, like, it's perfect. So now I even sometimes come out with the bomber jacket on and an empty bottle of Smirnoff filled with water. Maybe I shouldn't give that away, actually. No, a full bottle of Smirnoff that I chug on stage. Yeah. Just make sure you edit out that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, like the sauce would be so. Why you don't have a Rocky bottle? And
oh, yeah, Rocky.
They'd be so angry.
That's the first thing that happened when I came to Croatia on vacation, and we were at like this hostel. No, it was like more of a B&B, you know.
Yeah.
With this family, they didn't speak any English, and the first thing they did was set up a bottle of Rocky and like.
So I'm so uncultured here. So this is like the like proper shit you should be drinking if you're Slav.
Yeah, like Rocky.
Okay,
is
I'm
like,
taking notes.
Yeah, it's moonshine for slums.
Perfect yeah. For stage. We love that. We're gonna have to put that on our rider now.
Yeah.
Writing it down as we speak.
Yeah, so I want baklava. Baklava, and pierogies.
Yeah. Brilliant. For Rogi. Right. And some javapchichi as well, yeah. Right? Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, so, like, how is, I don't know if you know this, but since you're not Norwegian, but how is the hardcore scene in Norway? Like, how do you feel?
It's a really good question. And you're right, I don't know much about it. I know of some very cool bands, cool Norwegian bands, but the hardcore scene itself, you know, I didn't grow up in it. If you want to ask me about Melbourne hardcore, I'm a wealth of knowledge. I'm a wealth of knowledge. I've been going to those shows since I was like 14. But with Norwegian stuff, you know, at the hardcore scene, I don't really go to shows. I've been to a few grind shows.
Yeah.
And that's really, there's a lot of cool bands, grind bands. And I've been to a few punk shows, but hardcore, not so much. I should definitely educate myself in that though. I would think that's my sign to educate myself in Norwegian hardcore a bit better.
I think that Honningbarna is actually considered hardcore.
But, really?
Like punk.
I mean, they're okay. They're not really my cup of tea. And they're very like commercial now.
Yeah. No, but they're like the first album was like Free Palestine and stuff.
Oh,
like
okay,
that.
Right. Okay, we'll say that they're hardcore then for sure.
But like I was like another band. I mean, they are pretty big. Kvelertak.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We toured with them.
How did they become commercial? Because it's not an easy band to listen to.
It's a really good question. You know, and it's weird that you bring that up as well, Joachim, because I knew of them from Melbourne, like way before I moved to Norway, like years and years before. I knew of them. Well, actually, I found out about them when I came to Norway in 2011. That's mm-hmm. when I found out about them, because a friend, I met a guy who was wearing a Kvalitak t-shirt. Mm. And I was like, I love that design. And yeah, it just so happened it was them. But my old band, Pagan, loved them. And you can hear some inspiration there. Mm. And then my first ever tour with Blood Command was with Kvalitak.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So, and a really cool punk band from Norway that you should check out is called Combos.
Combos?
Combos. C-O-M-B-O-S. I love them. And the amazing grind band. And obviously, I am a little bit biased because it is Ingvar's other band and Sigurd, our drummer's other band. But they're called Ratlord and they're really sick. So if you want some good grind, definitely check out Ratlord. Another good punk band is Hot Nuns as well, that they both play in too. So, got to plug my boys.
Yeah, that's great.
For the Swedes. But they are really good bands. I wouldn't plug them unless I thought they were great. Weirdly as well, there was like a, they're not so much, I don't know what genre they are. I'd say like, definitely not black metal. Maybe I'd say like more hardcore with black, like blackened hardcore. Is Ontblod. Do you guys know them?
No, and I've heard of them.
Again, Ontblod, I knew of way before I moved to Norway. I knew of them through the Melbourne hardcore scene, being into hardcore and metal in Melbourne. I found out about this obscure Norwegian band, and then I spoke to Ingvar about it, and he's like, yeah, I've produced them. I was like, what the hell is going on in this world? Like, I'm telling you, every sign possible that was telling me to join Blood Command literally happened. Like, if I was not meant to be the singer of this band, no one was. Just too strange. But yeah, so I know a bit about Norwegian music, just not the hardcore scene specifically. Mm. And I'm very specific with when it comes to pinpointing genres, I guess. So, but yeah, lots of good heavy bands. Yeah.
You mentioned that you know everything, like everything about the Melbourne hardcore scene. But
yeah,
if we Quiz speak me. Like the music that me and Jukki listens to the most, I guess, is more like metalcore, which is really big in Australia.
It's huge and it's horrible and I hate it. and I only say that because I grew up with it. Like the first bands I ever, like when I was 14, I was, and I don't want to be this person being like, oh, I was 14 and watching Parkway Drive, but I really was. They're not from Melbourne, they're from Byron Bay, but that was like the scene I grew up in. And there were like lots of like metalcore, they called themselves hardcore at the time, like Carpathian, 50 Lions, the singer Winston from Parkway, was in 50 Lions, like Jungle Fever, Miles Away, Break Even. All these bands were bands that I literally grew up, and they all went, a lot of them went to my high school because I grew up in this small coastal town. Yeah. And so like all the Carpathian guys and the Break Even guys, they all went to my high school. So I would go to local shows in this small coastal town called Mornington. And I just spent every week there just hanging out with all these dudes and these hardcore bands. And it was such a sexist sausage fest. I fucking hated it. And that is why I am doing what I'm doing, because I just didn't want to see more bros do it. And these shows were like, you know, I'm not sitting here on my cis white girl high horse. I'm telling you, like, these shows were really fucking dangerous for people going. They were really not inclusive. Women were called derogatory names, and it was not a nice scene to be a part of. So I wanted to be the change to that, and that's why I started Little Lamb and the Rosemarys, because I thought there's not enough representation for women or minority groups, and I wanted like a queer safe space, you know, for the queer folk and for women. And I didn't want to be a part of that problem that was the metal course.
That's a good thing.
For anyone's ears or for this. Socially.
We're going to end this podcast here.
This is a metalcore podcast.
Is it actually not? No.
It's not.
It's just but that, again, that's just my opinion on the music. I am such a advocate for people to like what they want to like. I'm not going to sit here and judge people if they love metalcore. Good on them. It's just my experience with it was really negative. In ways, there was some good that came out of it, like, you know, hearing of bands and going to live shows since I was a young teenager. Like, that was a good aspect, but there was a lot of bad that came with it. An interesting part of it, though, which kind of was a bit of a full circle moment in my life, was there's a band called The Amity Affliction from Australia.
It's my favorite band.
Oh, you will love this.
It's one of my favorite bands.
You will love this story then. So yeah, here we are, story time with Nikki. Yeah. The first band that I ever... I got really drunk one night. I was in my twin sister's car and I got really drunk. I think I was like 18 or 19. And the first time, because before that, like in Little Lamb and the Rosemary's, me and my twin sister were like writing music, but I was doing more singing in Little Lamb and the Rosemary's, less screaming. And when I say singing, I mean very like, maybe shouting. The best. Yeah. Bit more shouting, singing. But, I started screaming along to one of the Amity Affliction songs called Anchors of Young Bloods, their record. Yeah. And fast forward to 2019, I think, and Pagan is supporting the Amity Affliction on their national tour. And I write an Instagram post that the first song I ever learned to scream to was Anchors. They put that song in their set and I get to sing it on stage.
Oh my God.
6,000 people. Damn, so that was like so a nice moment. Yeah. So I thought it was like, it came full circle for me. Like, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah.
But they suck.
But those guys were... Yeah, they were nice guys. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, perfect. They're nice guys now. I didn't know them personally when I was young.
Yeah.
Now they're lovely. Yeah, and they're killing it. Like, good on them. It's like with Parkway Drive, good on them for doing what they're doing, being that genre, you know.
Did you hear the Amity's latest song?
No.
There's no cleans.
It's just
super heavy.
Oh, well, that's cool. Maybe I'll enjoy that a bit more then.
So angry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you both loved the metalcore. Here I am slagging off metalcore and you're like,
no, it's fine.
Why did
we
get this girl on the show?
No, I mean, I'm definitely more into hardcore than Yuki's, but.
Yeah. So. I love hardcore, just not so much metalcore.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever floats your boat. I love all music. Yeah. No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Liar.
Yeah.
You don't like Kanye West.
No, definitely don't like Kanye West.
No.
We hate Kanye West.
We definitely do.
What do you say your musical inspirations are?
It's that's a great question. Of when I my biggest inspiration is definitely Karen O from Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And what that is the person who made me want to be a vocalist for a band. I saw her maybe when I was like 14 at a festival in Australia, and when I saw her, I was like, I want to do that. I want to be as cool as her. But my inspiration for like writing and whatever is definitely like reading or seeing a good movie or a good theater play. That's usually where I get my best inspiration for writing lyrics. I've got a lot of things that inspire me when it comes to songwriting specifically, a lot of skills that I use. Like, I love the use of metaphor. And writing something really personal too. But yeah, inspiration-wise, definitely Karen O from Yeah Yeah Yeahs, if I had to choose like a person. And when I was younger, it was definitely Dennis from Refused, which is convenient because we're on a Swedish podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said in one of my interviews years ago when I was still in Pagan, I said, if Karen O and Dennis Lixon had a, sorry, is it Lixon? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Lixian.
Lixian. If yeah. Karen O and Dennis Lixian had a baby, I would be it. And Ingvar read that and said his two biggest inspirations for creating Blood Command was Karen O and Dennis Lixian. Again.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, full circle again.
Yeah. It's yeah. yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
So we recently interviewed a band called Imminence.
Yes, I've heard of them. Oh, wow.
And,
so,
and next week we will be speaking to Awake the Dreamer, which oh, you're going on tour with.
Well, I've heard of them too.
What do you know about Imminence and Awake? That's definitely more the kind of music for... like the right kind of music for our podcast, Imminence yeah. and Awake the Dreamer. It's more like that.
Oh, okay. I'm like Blood Command to hate. No, I'm kidding. I know nothing about either band. Obviously, I know of them now because we were asked to join their tour, which is really exciting. They seem like really lovely people. They seem very talented. I think Swedish music is the best music in the world. I'm not just saying this because I'm on a Swedish podcast. Me and Ingvar speak like this regularly when we're really wasted at like 4 a.m. in our rehearsal space. We often put on Roxette and just say how amazing they are. And like all of the best songs come from Sweden. So I'm really excited to see Imminence play. I think that it's going to be a really impressive live show. From what I yeah. can tell, there's going to be no amps on stage, so it's definitely going to be different from what I'm used to. but I think it's going to be really fun. They seem really cool, and it's really great because I've never heard of them, so it's opening my eyes to a new band, a new scene. I've never experienced the hardcore or metalcore. Would you call them metalcore?
Yeah,
the metalcore scene in Sweden. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see how Blood Command are received with that kind of a crowd too. I think we'll fit just fine though, because we've got the melodic thing down, like Imminence, but also the heavy thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it'll be great. And they're playing we're playing some great venues that the Blood Command have played with Caval Attack actually. So I think it's going to be really cool. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm going to the Stockholm show.
We'll see you there.
Yuki is going to the Gothenburg show.
We'll see you there. We must hang out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, have a drink. That'll be nice. Yeah. Have some of that liquor that I'll have on the rider, which I've forgotten the name of now, the Slovenian.
Yeah, Raki.
Raki.
I'll try to find some for you.
Yeah. Please do. Just don't give it to me before the show. Yeah.
Stand outside. You're releasing like the new single on Friday.
Yes.
Tell us more about it.
So it is our country ballad. I assume this is coming out before Friday.
Yes.
Okay. So we are premiering our music video Thursday night, the 16th of March on YouTube, which will be announced on Thursday. So this is a little sneak peek into that. We've just announced the pre-save for the single today, but the single is dropping on March 17th, which is this Friday. It's called Losing Faith. It is a really sad country western ballad. I really think that people will be shocked by it, but as I said, true Blood Command fans, I don't think are going to be shocked at all because they know thematically and sound-wise it's still Blood Command, but it's just me and Ingvar and an acoustic guitar. And I think so cool. It's just be expecting a little bit of like when Beyonce did that Adidas campaign with like cowboy stuff. I think for her, like, I think it's Blue Ivy, her brand or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We are kind of dressed like that in the music video.
Well.
So Yeah, I think people are going to be really shocked, and they're going to think we've either smoked way too much or they're going to think we're absolute geniuses. And they're You're right about both.
Can it be both?
There we both. Yeah, why not have both? We're definitely both. We've cooked our noodles and we're also geniuses. But yeah, I'm on like the edge of my seat waiting to drop this single because I think it's going to be really received really well. And, you know, if people hate it, they hate it. Like, that's their loss. It's a great song. And it's also, sorry, just quick side note, it's also the first song that Yngwer and I have released that is co-written, like, together. Like, the lyrics are written with both myself and Yngwer. Yeah, nice. So it's a really special one for both of us. We put in a lot of work for it and a lot of work leading up to the campaign and, you know, where me and Yngwer do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff in the band. And I'm really pleased with it all. And I think it's going to be really good, I hope.
I'm looking forward to hearing
it. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We're almost at the end. but I was wanted to ask you, how was it to return to Australia and bring the band with you?
It was one of the best moments of my life, like one of the best times of my life. It was really sad because they could only stay such a short time and there was so much I wanted to show them, like especially with like the punk scene in Melbourne. I wanted to take them to so many places, but we just didn't have time. The minute we landed, basically, we were on another plane to Sydney and then we were back to Melbourne and then played a festival in Melbourne, then the festival in Sydney the next day, then in Brisbane the day after. So we were just spending a lot of the time at airports in the lounge, which is nice. but it was just amazing. The guys loved it. Many of them have never been outside of Europe. So it was really, and that's no shade. Like, why would you go outside of Europe if you live in Europe? Like, you can go to Amsterdam on the weekend.
Everything here.
Yeah. But it was so cool for them to see, you know, a totally different continent. And like, you know, it's not a culture shock per se, but the weather was beautiful. They got to meet some Australian wildlife. They got to see, you know, Australian bands. They got to go to Australian venues. And I got to take them one afternoon around where I grew up. Not where I grew up, sorry, where I was living in Collingwood in Melbourne, which is a super hipster, cool part of Melbourne. You know, they got to see like bars and shops and it was absolutely amazing. And it was so emotional for me as well because I got to see my twin sister and that was the longest we'd been away from each other, which I think was like 6 months apart from each other, which is so hard, but it was just amazing. And you know, I landed in Melbourne and my twin sister and one of my best friends was waiting there, and then my best friend asked me to be a bridesmaid and you know, it was just like so many emotional beautiful things that happened over that time, and I just wish we could go back tomorrow, but hopefully we'll be back soon. And it was just incredible.
That's nice.
Awesome.
I want to return a bit to maybe a Blood Command. We should have put this earlier, this question. because your band seems very happy to try different brass instruments.
Yes.
Like trumpet and saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Well, you'd probably have to ask Yngwer the answer to that because he does write majority of Blood Command songs. Obviously, now Yngwer and I write all of the lyrics together. I think again, it's just going against what people expect hardcore music to be. And it also serves a purpose in the songs. You know, you can hear it melodically. We have some new songs which might or might not have a brass instrument on them.
It's a different
maybe.
One.
Maybe.
And
trombone.
If we did happen to have one, it would perhaps serve a purpose and just make the song a bit better, figuratively speaking. It's also a through line, you know, you'll as you said, you've noticed it has been a thing on the records, and Ingvar and I, we both love a through line, you know, like when there's a theme throughout the album and then throughout each record and then across the band. So it's also a little bit of a red herring, you know, like, I don't know what you guys call it in Sweden, but yeah, I'd say like a through line is the best way to describe it.
Like a red thread, we call it.
Yeah, red thread, that's it.
Yeah.
A red thread, and I love a red thread. Right, red thread gets me off, you know? So I think it's the epitome of good songwriting when you can have that red thread. And that's just, again, it's personal taste. Not everyone would agree with that. It's just my personal taste with songwriting is having that. So I think that's also a reason why he's put it there. I know with figuratively speaking, if we put it in new songs, that's why it would be there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. yeah, so I can't speak on behalf of him, but that is what I know moving forward as to why we would maybe put it in there if it was in there, which I can't say if it is or it isn't.
You'll notice.
Yeah, you'll definitely notice if it is, though.
So lastly, we always ask our guests to pick five deserted island albums.
Oh my god,
which is really hard. But if
this is so hard, like, I know, totally put me on the spot. Oh my god, okay,
that I didn't ask your consent for that one.
No, you definitely did not. Okay, so I've got to remember all the names of the albums though, so that's like my biggest thing right now. So 100% Olivia Rodrigo's album Sour is like my like album of 2022. I would say Dua Lipa's album Future Nostalgia. It's the most perfect pop record ever. One of. I'd say Madonna True Blue. That album for me is my childhood album, and it was my mom's favorite record. So rest in peace to my mom, and I have to put it in there because of her. And I would definitely say Fever to Tell, because that was the first album that I ever heard that made me want to be a singer of a band. And then I'd probably say Mayhem Death Crush, not because I'm a huge Mayhem fan now, but it is part of the reason why I'm in Norway now.
So yeah, I was thinking that's a Norwegian band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be my five.
Wow.
A lot of dancing
You
ones.
Nailed that.
Yeah, thank you. It came to me a lot easier than I thought, actually.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pop
almost
in there.
Only pop bands.
Yeah, I love.
There used to be mayhem there.
I mean, I used to love heavy music so much when I was a teenager, but in my older years, I'm turning into much more of a pop diva.
So that's what most people tend to do.
Yeah.
We all do
I never
that.
Thought
we
I would get there, and then I did. Never thought it would happen.
I mean, Billie Eilish is one of my absolute favorite artists.
Awesome.
Seriously.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'm glad that you guys get it, because I thought you'd be like, what the fuck, Olivia Rodrigo? Let's get this girl off this show now.
Can we cancel her, or is it?
Yeah. Oh my god, you can't cancel her.
Oh, hi, you're still here. Oh.
Cancel me, yeah, you can try. Good luck.
Hey, Nikki, thank you so much for.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, guys. It was so lovely to chat, and I'm super excited to see you in Stockholm and Gothenburg. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, it will be so much fun.
It will be fun.
How do I say goodbye in Swedish?
Hej då.
Hej då.
Yeah.
Hej då. <That's it. laughs> Love, Nikki. Woo!